Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, the evening edition. It is Thursday, November 17th. My name is Carrie, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen in Las Vegas, along with my host, Mike Reynolds, in Baltimore. Mike, how are you?
Doing okay tonight, sir. It's a little cold, but I'm okay. I'm all right.
All right, good, good. If you would like to join us in our chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Hiroshima's name. We'll bring you right into the chat room. You can also call in and speak with our guests at 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. This evening, we welcome Dan and June Kurimoto of Hiroshima. Dan is the leader and producer of the group, and June plays the wonderful Koto instrument that we're going to talk to them about. Their new CD, scheduled for release in January, is called Departure. Dan and June, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Mike.
How are you both doing? We're very honored to be on your show. Thank you.
Well, I for one, am very excited to have you on. I've seen you, the group, twice, most recently a couple of weeks ago here in Las Vegas, and just blew me away. My girlfriend and I went, and it was so good. It was such an awesome concert. My only regret is that I was not in the front row.
Well, thank you so much. We play Las Vegas every year, as we do many cities, and it's a great place to play. We love playing for the local people that live there, so it's cool.
Yes, you guys do. The first time I saw you, it was in 2008, I believe, was the very first time I saw you here, and I was so impressed with the band, and, you know, I've obviously heard the music, but I had never seen you live. And I was just so impressed with the band. I was impressed with June playing the koto. I could not take my eyes off that instrument. And then the drummers, the two drummers that you have were,
right.
Oh my gosh, it was just so good, so good.
Thank you. Well, you know, we've been at this for a good while, and we created a concept that thus far, I guess, pretty different because no one else has done anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's just playing from the heart. And June, being the unique musician that she is, she plays a Japanese harp, which she can describe for you if you like, called koto. Maybe I think the origins in Japan or somewhere around 1500 years old. And the instrument really hasn't changed much, but I think. For your listeners, the first time they may have heard June play was on the number one hit single kind of in the late 80s called Sukiyaki by Taste
mm-hmm.
of Honey.
Mm-hmm.
And June played on that track and about 60 other albums of other artists since then and many, many movies. So she does it all for us. She's the heart and soul of the band.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what I would like to do is read off some of Hiroshima's accomplishments. You guys have been in the business for over 30 years. I counted 37. So that's a long time. That's a long time.
Our first album was in August of 1979. So we've been doing this for a good long while.
Yes. A total of 18 albums. They've sold over 3 million copies worldwide. They have toured with Miles Davis. Miles Davis, we definitely have to talk to you about that. Dan has scored over 50 plays, films, TV shows, including the Showtime miniseries Home Fries, Bean Sprouts, and Silence. Dan is also has also served as the musical director for the musical Zoot Suit. The group wrote The Moon is a Window to Heaven for the movie Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, and I am a Trekkie. And the group has also composed the theme song for the cooking show Simply Ming, hosted by Ming Tsai.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Wow.
On PBS. Well, you've done your homework. Thank you so much, Terry.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So now, let's start with the beginning, from the very beginning. How did the group come together?
Well, initially, we came together. I was an art student going to Cal State Long Beach, and then I was playing in an art school band, and we happened to play at a community picnic, and I saw this unbelievably beautiful young girl playing an instrument that really I'd never seen played live before. The instrument was called koto, and she was just an amazing player. This young girl was like frighteningly good. And a few weeks later, we got in contact with each other because, as it turns out, my best friend was her brother. But he never mentioned he even had a sister. You know what I mean? And then we hooked up, and it was a sort of thing like I was born and raised on the east side of Los Angeles, which people largely consider like kind of Latin things because it's, you know, it's the largest Hispanic community outside of Mexico City. But, you know, it was very multiracial when I was growing up. I sang in the same Baptist church choir with Mike Garrett, and Mike Garrett was a Heisman Trophy winner and all-pro running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're both in church choir because I grew up in the Baptist church. But my grandparents lived upstairs from me, so I had that whole Japanese vibe going. My brother, my older brother, was a jazz piano player, so I was getting it from all sides. June, you grew up in the hood on the west side.
I grew up on the
ghetto,
west side.
On ghetto.
That's right. Don't mess with me. Because I'm down. But no, and what happened was I studied.
Well, you were born in Japan. Let's
I was
start
born
there.
In Japan, but came to the United States when I was about 6. And I saw the koto when I was in the United States. My teacher was playing it at an event, and I fell in love with it, the sound, the culture, everything about it. And I begged my mother to give me lessons. If I could take lessons from her, that's what I wanted to learn. So she approached her, and she said she didn't have a place to teach. She had just come to Japan to the United States from Japan. So my mother offered our house. So she taught at our house and used that as her teaching base. And my two sisters and I took the got free lessons in exchange. And what happened was my sisters quit in a year, but I continued on.
What June is leaving out here is that her teacher, Kazue Kudo, was the protege of Michio Miyagi, who is the most famous koto player in the history of Japanese music. So you're looking at 1,400 years of music. And so June's teacher was Miyagi's protege, and then June became Kazue Kudo's protege. So which is an interesting conflict because, this is an immigrant culture that we live in. I mean, other than Native Americans and Hispanics, all of us got here, as we always say, many by accident and many times not even by choice, if you feel what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And in June's case, being here and being a Japanese national, really coming here and going to school in the hood and not even being able to speak English, she went through a lot of trials, so she put her heart and soul in playing that instrument. And if there is such a thing as soul koto, that's what June has evolved into. And she really is supposed to take over that mantle of the great protege of Kudo, the third generation of proteges of the koto master. But being raised in L.A. and in the hood on the west side of Los Angeles, she has opted to stay here. So
I loved R&B too much.
Yeah.
That's my soul.
Yeah, and so in Japan, there's a sort of little bit of a vibe because they go like, well, you know, you're the best koto player in the world. How come you're born in Japan? How come you don't come back here? And she said, I live here, my family's here, and you have to understand the commitment that she's made. And so we're so blessed in this band because she hasn't chosen to move back, and she has chosen to try and spread her message of that instrument and the music in Western music. And her goal was to try to make what she does part of Western music.
Well, okay. It's also, too, when as I'm growing up, during the, you know, what was known as junior high school then, which is middle school now,
mm-hmm.
You know, my friends made fun of me for playing what they would consider grandma music. And mm-hmm. So my dream was, if people saw the beauty of this instrument, heard the beauty, then, and if I could put it in a contemporary setting, then maybe their heart, their ears, their eyes may open up to it and be more receptive, you know. Yeah. And that was my dream, is to try to contemporize it, to show the beauty of the sound of this instrument, and even the look of the instrument, because I truly love this and respect this instrument and the culture in Japan and the country as well, because that was my motherland.
And lest it be forgotten, because June is very, very modest, if you all know who Stanley Clarke is.
Yes.
And Stanley, who's played with every great musician on the planet. You know, Stanley said flat out, and it's on our website, a direct quote, you know, June is the greatest koto player in the world. Period.
That's because I work with him.
what, no.
He's a buddy of mine.
what,
he knows what would happen. Even though he's a black belt, he knows my sister stronger. He knows where I came from.
See what I mean? This is a girl from the hood. You understand?
I would have to agree with him, because, I mean, to watch you play that koto, June, it's beautiful. It's just, it has such a beautiful sound to it. And it lends such a different and unique sound to, you know, Hiroshima's music. Was it hard to learn? How long did it take you to really master it?
Well, usually it's been said that it's about 10 years.
To play badly. As June said, 10 years to play bad.
And that's and at least 10 years to, you know, and you start getting your degrees. I received my professional status back in 1969, which means, you know, I'm a professional koto player. I can teach, you know, it's mm-hmm. like a master's. But so it took me, I'd say about 20 years. I'm still learning. But just as hard was to unlearn and to open up. You know, it's being in a band, improvising. We've always been, you know, taught music, memorization, blah blah blah. But to create something, we were not encouraged. We were not encouraged to play with Western instruments especially. And things of that sort, breaking out of the circle. And so when Dan would say, well, improvise, you go, what do you mean improvise? Write it down and I'll play it, you know. But to open up was, you know, I had to throw away my first 20 years to gain my second 20 years.
Wow.
You know.
Now, I was going to ask you guys, now you have been in the business for a long time now. What do you attribute to the success of the band?
Well, I think a lot of it has, first of all, it begins with June and her inspiration, because if somebody is as bad as June is and she's as humble as she is, then we better shut up and get to work. If you feel me. And then, what I'm talking about here is real inspiration, because mm-hmm. the people in the band are amazing musicians that have all kind of made this their labor of love over the years. And if I can mention from the very beginning, you know, we were the first Asian band, you know, to make it on the larger circuit. And here's how bad it was. A few weeks ago, we met up with Larkin Arno, who was the first who was the first executive who signed us to Arista Records in 1979. And he had signed all these other people that everyone said was never going to work, like Natalie and like Frankie Beverly and Mays and like Taste of Honey and some guy named Luther Vandross and Tina Marie and all this other stuff. And he said day one, he says, you would be lucky if you were black, but you're not. So he said, no, the racism is going to come from all sides because no one believes that people of your color can play, sing, dance, nothing.
Wow.
So when we saw him a couple of weeks ago, we thanked him because he made us strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He made us realize that we had better be strong. Mm-hmm. The difference is for us, you know, in all truth, you know, being embraced for our entire career, principally, especially in the beginning, by an African-American audience that has been our heart and soul. And to this day, like, our best market is Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the connection there, or Detroit, or places like that, because the connection, you know, like, we all understand each other. The playing field is level. The struggles mm-hmm. are so similar till, you know, like, we need to unite and take care of business. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we started out, and we have managed to stay together because, you know, we have people who just love the concept, like the new kid on the block, Shoji, Terry, that amazing drummer that you talked about.
Yes.
That crazy throat singing from Mongolia.
Yes.
Well, yeah, he's in his early 30s, but he's been with us for 8 years now. Danny Yamamoto, our drummer, when he was in high school, he was playing in the Billy Childs Trio. And if you know who Billy Childs is, he's probably the most famous jazz piano player alive today. If our bass player, right out of high school, he went on tour with Boss Skaggs. He was the guy that made Lowdown popular. That song, Lowdown?
Yes,
Dean
yes.
has played on over 300 movies and records. And then our keyboard player, Kimo, the monster from Hawaii, you know, he spent so much time with so many different people, John Klemmer, a long time with Al Jarreau. He was the main keyboard player with Frankie Beverly and Mays for many years, you know. And so it's like bringing all these people together, you know, behind an idea of what we can do, something nobody else is doing. And that process, that adventure, keeps everyone motivated and interested. And also, we love the idea of a band, which is not popular too much anymore, which is sad. The idea of shared ideas, that someone brings an idea for a song or an arrangement or something, and then we all work on it together. And to us, you know, that there's a spiritual thing that happens there that is magic and can't be replaced by anything else.
Right.
And that was going to be my next question as well. You know, like how much does each member contribute to a song when you guys, you know, are in the studio or you're going through the process of creating an album? How much input does each member have?
In all honesty, it varies from song to song, but we all contribute somewhere, whether it's an arrangement or ideas or melodies or chords or, you know, and we all grin and bear it throughout the whole process, because sometimes it could, you know, we get stifled, we get stumped, and then other times it just flows.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it varies in different degrees. But the primary songwriters are Dan, Kimo, and then me.
Okay.
See, how we look at this is like we came in from what we used to be called the movement, which was an attempt, you know, in the early 70s for human rights for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we take that spirit and we apply it to the band. And in fact, in terms of what we're doing now, because we've just finished an album, Terry, thank you for mentioning that, called Departure. And it's our first one since our last one was 2010
Grammy nominated
for Legacy. But we begin a new journey because we've opted out of our recording contract, and we want to get back the kind of people's music at people's prices. And what we're starting to do, like on our website and our Facebook, is to build what we're calling the Hiroshima community. It's a multiracial, multi-arts, because it doesn't have to do exclusively with this band.
Or music.
Or music. So, you know, if something is down and it's in the hood or wherever it is, we're going to let people know. Because it's about growing a sense of unity of human beings on this planet, because there's just not enough of it. And for us, we try to tell that story every time in every single song we play. We try to let people know that we're about connecting and about dignity and about spirit. And that thread keeps us together, and that and also the fact that every rehearsal, every recording, you know, I cook a little bit because we believe in eating, because without food there's no point. Maybe have a little glass of wine, and we try to keep the vibe flowing. It's always about the vibe.
I checked your website and I saw the recipe. There's a pork recipe on the website that I'm gonna have to try out.
Every recipe on our website is band tested. It's been made. The band has eaten it several times. Like my turkey chili recipe is like the most famous tested band recipe. And Terry Steele, who is part of our band family, who left the band for several years to do the Remembering Luther tour when Luther passed, because Terry wrote Here and Now for Luther.
Right.
And Terry always does our holiday shows, and you know, like it's his favorite dish. So, but we're about that sense of it's like family. I don't know how else to explain it. And then to extended family, pretty much I think Jim would agree. Almost everyone that works with us as family. Even the crew guys, right, June?
Okay.
Even our crew. Even the cats from 15, 20 years ago. You know,
we are still in touch with them.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get to some music here because I want to get some songs in here off to this new CD. We are talking to Dan and June Kurimoto of Hiroshima. Their new CD is called Departure. It won't be available until January.
Terry, actually, you know, we have some pre-release. And we did a limited run, you know, because we're sending it out to media like we sent to you. And if people want to go on our website, they actually can get some till we run out, because we just, you know, we only made a couple thousand. So,
oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
So people are for the holidays and it's people's prices. That's all I can say.
It's not in our website yet. It should be.
Yeah, it's not in our website. I thought it was.
Oh, you go check.
Yeah. Well, if not, it will be there by the end of the week.
Okay. Well, I'll give out their website is HiroshimaMusic.com. Just check the website for it. If it's go ahead and buy it. Definitely pick it up. You know, we always tell you to support the artists and purchase their music. So if it's there, definitely pick it up. So I'm going to start off with track number 5, See You Again. Tell me about this one.
Well, actually, thank you. That's a very personal song for me and June, because if your audience is aware or not, you know, maybe one of the greatest jazz saxophone players in the history of music is a cat named James Moody.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the song Moody's Mood for Love, ba da dee da do dee da do da. Okay, James Moody has been me and June's big brother and personal mentor for 40 years. Before we started the band, I'm going to tell you a true story I've never told anyone before. The first time I ever met James Moody, he was playing at the Parisian Room here in L.A. It's a jazz club that's in the hood, and went to go check him out. And
you guys sort of in the hood, lad, I tell you that.
We're all ghetto kids, and we're proud of it. You know what we call ghettos? We call it cultural centers. Because that's where the real cultural business happens. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made us so close to our own Japanese culture, because it made us look at ourselves and go like, you know what, if we can't respect ourselves, you know, we can't respect anybody. And how do we expect our children to respect themselves if we don't respect ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beginning. I know you feel me when I say this. So, but James Moody, the legend, you know, over the years has always encouraged us. And the very first time I met him, he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I had this idea, me and June, for a band, and we're going to call it Hiroshima, and we incorporate Japanese instruments. But I think, you know, there's too much racism and negativity, and people would never dig it." And Moody, I remember, this is a true story, he pulled out of his back pocket a knife, and he put it in front of my face. He says, "You don't even know what it is to pay dues. So I don't ever want to hear you say this again." Now, he wasn't going to cut me, but he was trying to make a point about people of color need to acknowledge and take responsibility. We can't run from things. We got to go frontal and deal with it. And that has, right, June, has guided us the whole time, because it made us take on the responsibility. And so this song, James Moody died in December of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is breaking our hearts to this day, because if you knew the man, he is the most generous and loving human. He was in Australia once, and he came up new ways of playing over a D minor chord. He calls me up, and he gives me a sax lesson from Australia over the phone for almost a half an hour. That's James Moody. You know what I mean? Because okay. Man, you need to rethink this D minor. If you put the ninth on the bottom, you know, and run from the fourth, and, you know, that kind of. Moody was always trying to make us hip to things and make us committed. So this song was a song that's a tribute to James Moody. And the first half of the song is all about what we felt like was Moody's vibe. And the last portion of the song all is playing segments of Moody's Mood for Love.
And
the song is called See You Again, because that first day that I met Moody, he said, "Teach me something in Japanese." Now, I can understand Japanese a fair amount, but speaking, you know, growing up in Los Angeles, my chops aren't that good for speaking Japanese. But one phrase that I knew that was a little bit hit was "Jamata ne," which means see you again, or like catch you later. And Moody, from that day till he passed in December of the last year, at the end of every show, he would say, "Ja mata ne." So, see you again. And if you notice in parentheses, it says, "Ja mata ne, Moody." Mm-hmm. And that's the song.
All right. Here we go with "See You Again."
Thank you.
All right, that was See You Again from Hiroshima's new CD, Departure. You may be able to find it now on their website, HiroshimaMusic.com. So go there and check it out, see if it's there, and pick that up. I have a question for you from the chat room, from Smooth Jazz Family. I just have to say I love the flavor of your music. I would love to hear a fun musical duel between June's koto and a Japanese guitar jazz style.
Wow, that's kind of I love that idea.
Yeah,
we'll put that. We'll think of, now that we're we've opted out with the label. We're going to do a new CD pretty much every year, and I'm just not sure what a Japanese guitar player means. Do you know what that means, June?
No. I do not.
Anybody know what that means? You know, I mean, I know Japanese cats that play the guitar.
Especially on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. I know. I mean, there's cats that could, that can funk it up or play some straight ahead jazz. But we'll give that some serious thought because that sounds, that sounds like it could be some fun. That's
right.
A great. Please, and whoever you are in the chat room, thank you so much, and we'll take that to heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I was at the concert, they did a drum solo, and
right.
It is really something that you have to see, really. You have to see it to appreciate it, but they put the drum solo on the new CD, and it's called Yama Song Duet.
Right.
And I'm going to play this next. But just kind of give us a little, just a little background on this, and I'll go right into the song.
It's a song that Shoji Kameda, our taiko player, composed with a lot of help from Danny Yamamoto, our drummer. It's a piece that they kind of evolved together. As we say, we're a band, so we like working together. And this that you're going to hear from the record is the first full taiko composition that we've ever put on any of our records.
Mm-hmm.
It is played live in the studio. So you'll hear Shoji in the beginning, that sound that you can't figure out, that's Tuvan throat singing. Tuva is a country right between Mongolia and Russia. It's very small. It's the only country in Asia that's never been conquered. These are some bad people. They're tough. And Shoji has studied that style of singing, and then it evolves into other things. But it all recorded live in the studio because we felt like the only way it was going to work if it had that for real live vibe, Terry, like you heard in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope everybody likes it.
Okay, this is Yama Song Duet, and this is the drum solo from the two drummers in the group.
Right.
Again, you have to see that to really appreciate it. I'm telling you, that drum solo is, oh my God, they are so good. They're so good. Yeah.
I failed to mention that drum that sounds so huge is called taiko, and it's a traditional giant Japanese festival drum that's been played in Japan since 300 BC. And
wow.
It's not any different. It's just a giant drum, and Shoji, our drummer that plays that, is one of the best in the world.
And he also has a group of his own called On Ensemble, which is O-N Ensemble.
Uh-huh.
And they can look him up too. He does all kinds of different kinds of music and all kind of mixing, you know, spinning and
scratching and hip hop with the giant drum, and it's some bad business. It's really hip stuff.
Koto played in a percussive way, all kinds of things.
Yeah,
very innovative.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, young
cool.
Creative cats,
mm-hmm.
You know, doing really new stuff, and
very
so
much
we're very proud of them. Yeah.
And very much into this digital world.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, because you led me right into that next question, June. You know, with the way that things have changed with the, you know, invention of the internet and, you know, social media and things like that. Have you guys been dealing with the changes over the years, you know, with the different things that's coming out and ways to promote your music and get your music to the fans?
Very poorly. Very poorly and slowly, because we're old school, but we're trying very hard to convert and, you know, try to get on. We've been on Facebook, so please go to our Facebook and like us.
June actually has her own Facebook site, because June has three unbelievably beautiful CDs of her own. I mean, just gorgeous pieces of music, all three of them, and you need to check that out. Plus, you go on a Facebook site, you can have a little chat with June. See?
if I find it, sometimes I get lost.
June, do you have a website?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I do have a June's Corner in Hiroshima's website.
Okay, I saw that. Okay,
but she does have her Facebook site,
uh-huh.
and it's very cool, and you can access, you know, her CDs there as well as on our website. But yeah, you know, we're learning that, like, it's, I mean, just think about it, you know, like, at least from where we grew up, there used to be record stores. Now there's now there's none.
None.
There used to be a whole bunch of radio, and now it's really thinned out. So what we need to do. And that's why we're asking people to come to our website and give us their email and address and join the Hiroshima community, is that we think that, you know, artists need to be grassroots. We need to start all over again and not let, you know, the record companies, because, you know, they already kind of, you know, for better or for worse, they're being phased out. But we need to, as artists, help people access us, create an interactive dialogue, and not just between our audiences, which we like to call our community, but even amongst other artists. I mean, it's time that we all interconnect. You two have a vision to spread the word. Now, we all need to interconnect with that idea so that we can keep the music alive. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we're attempting to do on our website and on the other social medias like Facebook is and we're learning as we go. Trust me, we are learning as we go.
Yeah.
But we want to connect. You know, it's just like, give us more information and on our, when they come to join the Hiroshima community, amongst the other things they'll learn about is what you are doing right now as we're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about connecting.
June, I wanted to find. I'm interested in knowing how you came to play with The Taste of Honey. Did they come to you? Did they approach you?
Actually, it's George Duke did. George Duke was producing them, and our good friend George.
Yeah, our buddy George.
Yes, everything they say about him is so true. No one says anything bad.
There's not a nicer guy in our industry than George
Duke.
George
Duke. Yeah.
And just because he's the baddest piano player, it doesn't mean he's not a good cat. He's, and a great producer. Great producer, great human being.
So had they heard of you before, or were you new to them?
No, they didn't know. George knew us because we had played the Playboy Jazz Festival together about a year before that, Jim.
And also because the band used to play every year at the Roxy in Los Angeles on the Sunset Strip, New Year's Eve show. And he and Stanley Clark would sometimes come.
Yeah, they come and hang out with us. And Jaco Pastorius, and, you know, we're so blessed. I mean, all these major cats would come and hang out at our Christmas show.
Stanley told me that one night when I was in his studio, he said, oh, he goes, he'll never forget the night that he and Jaco were just tripping down Sunset, and they looked up on the marquee and said, Hiroshima, let's check them out. So they came in, and he said they were both so blown away, and I never knew the story till he told me about 10 years ago, you know, and my jaws just dropped because I said, God, I didn't know that, you know, they thought of us and that even, you know, they came to hear us.
Yeah, for those
thing
who may
we
not,
didn't know because we would have fallen
right,
apart.
For those who may not know, Jaco Pastorius was the bass player with Weather Report in their heyday. And Jaco is like, you know, I mean, Stan and Jaco are the two baddest bass players on earth. And there, I'm finished. Yeah.
Okay, so June, did you and Taste of Honey write the song Sukiyaki together?
No, Sukiyaki came actually was an original Japanese song by Q Sakamoto. And
okay.
I believe it was released in the 60s here, which was very unusual for a Japanese song to go, you know, very popular in the radios back in the 60s, I believe.
It was a huge hit here.
It was a huge hit here. It was in Japanese, you know, words and everything. But what Janice Marie did was she wrote English lyrics to it. And
okay.
she made it into an R&B, you know, ballad. And so that's when George Duke was producing Taste of Honey, and so then George contacted me, yeah.
And since that point, Janice Marie and June have been, you know, good friends ever since then. And Janice Marie did Sukiyaki with us earlier this year when we did a big Japan relief benefit. And Janice Marie sounded great as ever, right, June? I mean,
yes,
she
as
just
tore
the house up. We played at the Pasadena Civic for about 2,000 people, and she tore the joint up.
Okay. We have about 11 minutes left, and I want to get in one more song before we let you go. So I'm going to play Smiling Jack next. Tell me about this one.
Well, it's a song that, in truth, you know, and I don't want people to think that this record is sad in any way, but I wrote it for my dad because my dad passed in this year.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Okay.
And my dad's name is Jack.
Okay.
And my sister-in-law, our sister-in-law Rosa, who's Hispanic, I remember when the day that we're there and dad passed. And he told me in June, he said, you know, your dad had the best smile. You know what I mean? And so we try to, like, take the spirit of that. And then, you know, I was writing it, and I thought, you know, like, Kimo, our keyboard player from Hawaii, he was considered the best B3 organ player ever to play in Hawaii. I mean, if you like B3, you know, in Jimmy Smith or Groove Holmes, or, you know, go on, whoever you like, B3 players. But Kimo was like this cold-blooded B3 player from Hawaii, but he's such a great jazz piano player, we never really got into that. And so I wanted to take it back to the era when, you know, like, kind of like the 70s and growing up with my dad and you know, to the good times. So this is a song about the good times, and it reflects kind of a certain period with, there was a band called Traffic that did a song called Low Spark of High Heel Boys, and it was sort of like what they used to call rock and soul. So this is a little rock and soul for my dad, Jack.
All right, this is Smiling Jack. Thank you. I'm going to let that finish playing in the background. Dan, why don't you tell us where you are playing next?
We start our holiday shows, which are entirely different. You know, and if you want, we can send you one of our holiday CDs. But it features on vocals Terry Steele, and it was based on a holiday CD that we did about 2005, Jim, which was our second best reviewed CD ever, actually. And because if you've never heard Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer played on Koto, you know, it's all about having a great time for the holidays. So we're at Yoshi's San Francisco, two shows each night, December 10th and 11th, and then an anthology in San Diego, Friday, December 23rd, two shows. And it's one of our most favorite shows to do. We all dig the holidays, and it's all about the vibe.
All right. Well, we know that the CD will be available in January, but there may be some on your website, correct?
Yeah. We have about 1,000 that we're selling on the website.
Okay.
As a pre-release.
Okay. All right. And again, the website is HiroshimaMusic.com. Follow them on Twitter under Hiroshima Music as well, and on their Facebook pages, Hiroshima, and on June's Facebook page as well. Follow them, send them a friend request, and I'm looking forward to the next concert. I can't wait to see you guys again.
Wow. Thank you. And thank everyone that listens to Talking Smooth Jazz for supporting the music, because that's what you do when you listen to the show, and we're honored that you listen to what we had to say in our music today.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on this new CD. I don't have to say this. You've been together for 37 years, but another 37 years to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, really.
Jim said no.
And God bless.
Thank you.
And happy holidays and peace in the new year, please.
Thank you. Okay, same to you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right. Good night.
Peace.
Good night. All right, gosh, that was Dan and June Kuramoto from Hiroshima. Again, their new CD is called Departure, and you can find it on their website, HiroshimaMusic.com. Again, follow them on Twitter under the same name, and like them on their Facebook page. The CD is called Departure, and I think you're going to like it a lot. It's a good CD. All right. Thanks to those in the chat room. I'm sorry, Eric, we couldn't get to all of your questions. But I always love it when you come into the chat room and give us your questions, because you always have some really good questions. So thank you for that. For all of the guests, thank you for joining us as well. Let's see. Let me look up to see who we have coming up next. On Saturday, we're talking to a keyboardist named Will Holton, who is the keyboardist for Najee. So he will be joining us on Saturday. All right, Mike, you have anything to add in the last 2 minutes?
Nothing else to add, but just, like I said, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays coming up. And just want to, announce that Tony Exum Jr. and Dee Lucas will be performing a tribute to Art Porter and George Howard at Blues Alley in Washington, D.C. on January 3rd. So I'll keep posting about that, so stay on the lookout for that.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again next time. I'm going to close the show out with Hiroshima's most well-known song, One Wish. This has been rearranged a little differently on this CD. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our websites, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.